Gilo bit his lower lip and surveyed the valley below. The strongman's lair was now a boiling, humming cauldron of black spirits, their myriads forming a living haze over the cluster of buildings below. Secluded in her private room, Susan Jacobson sorted through records, ledgers, documents, printed matter, undeveloped film. Only one suitcase, now sitting on her bed, would have to contain it all. She eliminated half of the items and stuffed them in a cardboard box. The rest went into the suitcase. Footsteps in the hall. She slammed the suitcase shut and slid it under the bed. Then she hid the cardboard box behind some linens in the closet. Without knocking, Kasif came into the room along with several armed security men. She went to him and threw her arms around him. "Well, hi, how are things at your end?" He threw her on the bed, then ordered his men, "Search the room." "Alex, what is this?"
"Documents are missing. Someone is trying to betray me. I can read it in the atmosphere."
He pulled her up from the bed and gazed at her.
"I might even be reading it in your eyes."
At Hank's house, Tal remained carefully hidden as his warriors brought in people to pray. Hank had called a special prayer meeting, but had no idea this many people would show up. Old church members, new ones, new converts and their friends. Some people he hadn't seen in years. With one accord, the saints began to worship together and beseech the Lord for the sake of the town, their prayers rising to heaven. A messenger arrived.
"Captain, Gilo sends word that Susan is near discovery. You must come now."
Tal took a quick survey of the prayer cover he had gathered. It had to be enough for tonight's plan to work. The demonic cloud over the valley continued to thicken and swirl, and from their vantage point, Gilo and his warriors could see the glimmer of millions of pairs of yellow eyes.
"Where is Tal?" Gilo fretted. "Where is that prayer cover? They know. They know!"
An armed thug brought the cardboard box out of the linen closet and dropped it on the bed in front of Kasif. Kasif was satisfied.
"Bind her!"
With brutal force, they bound her in a chair, slapping manacles on her wrists and ankles. Kasif moved in close, his words slapping her like little whips.
"I never trusted you, Susan. So we've all kept an eye on you. Since the moment my rival, Mr. Weed, went to the Ashton Clarion, we have made his business our business. And as for that telephone call you made to him today, Susan, did you really think we wouldn't monitor every call going out of here? We knew you'd make your move sooner or later.
You've never been to one of our blood rituals, have you? The ancient worshippers of Isis and Moloch were not too far afield in their practices. The birth of the new only follows the death of the old. The birth of good is created by the death of evil. Well, this is karma, dear Susan. Your karma."
In other words, he was going to kill her. Gilo hissed to his warriors,
"Prepare!"
And every warrior drew his sword. Tal had the prayer cover he needed. He spread his wings. Several miles outside Ashton, Tal shot out of the ground like a bullet from a rifle, streaking across the sky, a trail of light following him like the tail of a comet, his sword held straight out in front of him. He could feel God's power in response to the prayers of the saints. His sword began to burn with power, glowing brilliantly. He felt it was pulling him through the sky. Faster and faster, the wind screaming, the distance shrinking, his wings an invisible roar, he flew for the strongman's lair. A black-robed, long-haired little guru stepped into Susan's room.
"Prepare the altar," Kasif ordered. "There will be a special offering for the success of our endeavor."
The little priest left quickly. Kasif took one look at Susan and gave her the back of his hand.
"Stop that! Stop that praying!"
Her head sank and she began to sob in short, shallow gasps of terror. Kasif went to his office and got a small leather case. Tucking it under his arm, he descended winding stairs into a dark, candlelit room of stone. The little priest was already there, lighting candles and moaning mantras. Kesev handed the leather case to the priest, who opened it and began to set out several ornate, razor-sharp knives. Gilo and his warriors stole down the mountainside toward the complex, concealing themselves behind rocks and old snags. Above them, the cloud of leering, laughing spirits boiled and towered like a thunderhead. Below, parked near the administration building, was a large van. Gilo hid where he could see the van clearly, then had his warriors fan out, keeping one warrior close by for special instructions.
She's in the upstairs bedroom, that upper window. Wait for my signal.
Tal reached the mountains, soared over the peaks, and then glided down the other side silently, invisibly, so low he was almost skidding along the ground. He came to rest beside Gilo.
We have the cover, he said.
Go! Gilo shouted, and the warrior half ran, half flew toward the big stone house. Susan tried to work the shackles loose, but they were so tight, they cut into her even if she didn't struggle. The guards only laughed at her. And then, as if she were slowly waking up from a nightmare, the agonizing, heart-twisting fear began to ebb from her mind, like a slow calming of a storm. There was someone in the room. She could sense it. The shackles fell to the floor and her feet were released. The manacles fell from her wrists and she pulled her arms free. She looked at the two guards, but they were standing there looking at her, smirking, then looking elsewhere as if nothing had happened. Then she heard a click and looked just in time to see the window latch twist loose and the big bedroom window swing open all by itself. Whether this was illusion or reality, she accepted it. She jumped up from the chair. The guards did nothing. She ran for that open window. Then she remembered. Still keeping a wary eye on those guards, she reached under the bed and dragged out the heavy suitcase that Kesev and his thugs had not found, even in such an obvious hiding place. Feeling light as if someone was lifting her, she climbed through the window and out onto the roof.
Hey, look there!
The security men standing outside looked just in time to see a woman dressed in black scurrying for one of the trucks. It's Jacobson! They ran after her, but she had already reached the big van and started up the engine.
Ah-ha!
Gilo leaped from his hiding place as his troop of 3 and 20 popped into the air like fireworks and trailed after the van.
Cover yourselves, warriors!
The little priest returned for Susan and his bony hand opened the door.
We are ready, he declared,
but suddenly realized he was talking to a pair of very dedicated guards, making sure an empty chair would not get away. The van roared up the precarious road that led over the mountains. 4 angels swooped down behind it, pushing it up the grade, making it top 60. Looking back, they could see the glimmer of fangs and the red flicker of blades. A legion of demons in hot pursuit. 4 of Kesev's security men were chasing the van in a high-powered jeep, amazed that they couldn't catch up. Demons and angels converged on the van, still chugging up the steep grade at more than 60 miles an hour, its tires growling and skidding on the winding, reeling gravel road. Demons dove from above and engaged the angelic warriors in fierce dogfights as the van topped the summit and picked up more speed. The pursuing jeep topped the summit only seconds behind it. A hairpin turn. Gilo swooped down, sword flashing, hacking his way through demon interceptors. The van was only a fraction of a second from the guardrail and the sheer drop beyond it when Gilo slammed forcefully into its side, jolting the front wheels to the left. The van made the turn. But the warriors encircling the van were being cut away, and the hideous warriors of hell began to break through. The van began to swerve wildly, the tires tiptoeing on the very edge of the chasm. Gilo knew a band of demons must be on the other side, pushing against him. The van veered toward the cliff. He tried to push it back, parry a blow, look for help, strike another demon, kick a face, push the van, cut a flank, parry a blow, guide the van. A blow! It stunned him. He lost his grip on the van, saw the canyon floor spinning far below. He was falling. The van crashed through the guardrail and out over the precipice, falling so far that it seemed to float for an eternity before crashing on the rocks below. The demons perched on the broken guardrail to watch it come to rest in an unrecognizable heap. The security men pulled to a stop and took a satisfied look.